Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll wait a couple of more, maybe another minute or so before we start.
Okay.
Ag Sameach, of course.
Yeah. Did you get a little bit of rest?
Can we come back to that question later?
Surely.
As soon as I get some sleep, I'll be able to answer that question. How about yourself?
Well, yesterday was an easy day.
And this week is going to be easy. No more cooking for the week.
No, I'm cooking enough.
Good morning. Good morning, Martha.
Morning.
So today's, it's not really a class, it's the reading, so that we have receive the energy of the Torah reading. Every day during Pesach, we have a Torah reading in the morning. Today's reading starts with Exodus chapter 13, verse 1. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. Before I do the L'shem Yichud, does anybody have any questions? L'shem Yichud, Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte, Bidhilu Urchimu, Urchilu, Urchilu, Urchimu. Liakta, L'shem, Yudhe Bavavhe, Yehuda, Shalim, B'shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah. לעסוק תורה מצווה. ראינו המדוני אלוהינו עלינו מעשה ידינו כנוני אלינו מעשה ידינו כנונהו. Chapter 13, verse 1. וידבר אדוני אלוהי אל משה לאמור. קדש לי כל בקור. Heter korechem bivnei Yisrael ba'adam u'ba'avchema li'hu. Vayomer Moshe el ha'am zachor et hayom hazeh asher yitzatem Mimitraim mibet avadim ki behozek yad od kotsiyo Adonai Yohei Wahei Echem mizevilo yeakel chametz hayom atem yotim V'chodesh ha'aviv. Starting in verse 5, we have the second reading of the day. V'haya ki yivi'acha Adonai Elohei Wahei El Eretz Hakana'ani V'ha'achiti V'ha'emori V'ha'achivi V'ha'evusi Asher nishba la'avotecha Latet lach eretz Zavat chalav Udvash v'avata Et ha'avoda Azot Vachodesh Chazeh Shivat Yamin Tokar Matzot Uvayom Hashvi Hagla Adonai Yom matzot yakel et shivat hayamim velo yerae lecha chametz velo yerae lecha seir v'kol gilu lecha vahigata levincha ביום ההוא לאמור, בעבור זה עשה אדוני לי, וצאתי ממצרים, וחיה לך להיות על ידך, וזיכרון בין עיניך, למען תהיה תורת אדוני אלוהי וההי בפיך כי ביד הזכה הוציאך אדוני אלוהי וההי ממצרים ושמרת את החוקה הזאת למועדה מימים ימימה. Before the third reading, we have an open space moving to the next line in the Torah scroll. Whenever you have a space, this is where the light of Hashem is, where Hashem is giving us additional energy. Starting with verse 11 is the third reading.
Wechaya ki yeviyacha Adonai Yohei Wahei El Eretz HaKenani Kasher Nishba Lecha Vela Avotecha Untana Lach Veha Avarta Kopeterechem Ladonai Yohei Wahei Bekopeter Sheker Bechema Asher Adoi Hiye Lecha Hazkarim Ladonai Yohei Wahei Bekopeter Chamor
different scroll for the Maftir. Mafkir comes from Numbers. It's the fourth reading of the day. It's coming from Numbers chapter 28, starting at verse 19. V'hi k'ravtem yishe Ola l'Adonai Yohewahe Marim b'nei v'akar Shanaim V'ayil echad V'shiva k'vasim B'nei shana t'mimim Yihiyu lachem U'min chatam So let the lula Vashemen shalosha Ezronim lapar Ushne Ezronim la'ayil ta'asu Isaron Isaron ta'aseh Lakevesh ha'echad Lashivat hakevasim Usir hatat echad Lekaper alehem Milvad olat Haboker asher leolat Hatamid tasu etele Kaele tasu Leyom shivat yamin Lechem nishay reach Michoach ladonai Yohewahei Alolat atamid Yeaseh v'nizko Duvayom hashvi Mikra kodesh yihyeh Lachem komelechet avodalota asu. That's the end of the reading. On the Maftir, we read from verse 18 to 24. And on the regular reading, we read from chapter or verse 1 of chapter 13 to verse 16.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, in Exodus 13, as we were reading it, verse 6 and verse 7, verse 6, Matzot is missing the vav, just has the holam. But in verse 7, the vav is there. You know, what we call a halam vav.
Right.
Do we know why?
Well, let me take a second to look at what the differences in the verses are.
To be so close together, you know, just verse 6 and verse 7, and yet so it's spelled differently.
Understood. Well, let me ask you a question to give you a hint, and then we'll continue talking about it. But if I read the English translation of verse 6, 7 days shall you eat matzah, and in the Sabbath shall be a feast to Hashem. Now in the seventh verse, matzah shall be eaten throughout the 7 days.
and no leavened bread shall be seen with you. Neither shall there be yeast seen with you in all your borders.
Okay, it looks like the verbs are, one is future, which would maybe be potential, and it sounds like the verse 7, shall be eaten for several days, would be actuality for manifestation. So is that a difference between potential, moving from potential to actualization?
That is one of the 70 explanations. Normally, and it's a good one, Hannah. Normally, when you have a word without the vav, it is not yet complete.
Mm-hmm.
The vav represents zerantin. Its numerical value is 6, representing the 6 sephirot. Chesed, gevura, tiferet, netzach, chod, yesod. So in the verse 6, without the vav, it's representing malchut. The verse is talking about eating matzah for the 7 days, for a week. It's talking about the potential, but it's really talking about the physical. In the 7th verse, the vav is present. It's complete. It's talking about the spiritual level of matzah. It's talking about zeranpin.
Okay.
I hope that's helpful for you.
That's almost every word that's defective without the vav. Is that
without the
would
vav,
that be
the any word without the vav? Is not complete. It doesn't mean that it's always malchut. It could be that it's not complete in a spiritual level as well.
Okay.
But the understanding is it's not complete. After the Mashiach, people,
right.
You know, people talk in terms that the Torah will never change, but that's not true. The Torah changes after Mashiach, where all of the connecting vavs that begin a verse, those connecting vavs will change location and they will complete all of the verbs, all of the words that are missing the vav. That's not the only changes that will take place. Other letters will move around. Other words will be modified to represent the energy that now exists in the universe. There'll be no word to talk about any kind of conflict because there won't be conflict. There will just be truth. Now, how do we understand that world? And we have to also understand that there is a process after Mashiach, there's still a process. And the beginning of that process, as our sages have said, there is almost no change after Mashiach, except for one thing. Israel will no longer be subject to the other nations. But our idea of what Mashiach represents. Our idea of what Mashiach represents is peace, serenity, completion, all of these words that have different meaning to different people. That is the process in Mashiach as we go from this initial stage where the only thing that changes is Israel will no longer be subject to the other nations, until we reach the completion, which is whatever people want it to be, because mind over matter will be very much part of the process. I hope that's been helpful to you.
Oh, it was. Thank you. I'm glad I asked the question.
I am too.
I mean, I knew it was effective, but and I'm glad to know that you can't just say this would apply to every verse. You have to really figure out if it's physical, if it's manifestation, or if it's spiritual, you know.
Right, but recently I've given you the tools of how to know if it's physical.
Right.
By counting the words and counting the letters. It's a helpful
right.
hint to what is physical and what is spiritual.
I always felt the bombs were there, but they were the white fire that you couldn't see with your physical eye, but they're in the white spaces, and that was the way I thought of it.
But on a more practical level, they're in the connecting vows, because after Mashiach, after the completion, everything is unified. There will not be separation. Our consciousness of separation will not be there. And so all of those connecting vows where we say this and that, which is the vow, those vows have to change location, because this and the word that we perceive as different, when in reality everything is connected, everything is unified.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we're not able to perceive that yet. And that is one of the meanings, one of the understandings of what Mashiach's process will complete, where we will no longer see you and I as different, as separated. We will realize that we are both part of the same vessel, and therefore we have different functions in that vessel. But that doesn't mean we're not in the vessel. And we will be able to see, perceive, the separation as the illusion that it is, and at the same time see the unity for the truth that it is. Right now we can only see the separation.
Well, I know when we get to the verse where the word shalom has the broken vav, and we
yes.
visualize it as unified. Could we not do the same thing when we see a word like matzot and it's missing the vav? Could we stop at that word and visualize the vav
yes.
there? Okay.
Yes.
Now,
I mean,
with that,
it's not in the reading itself, you won't see it, but in your study, yes,
no.
it's a good thing
yes.
to do.
All right.
In essence, it's called practicing mind over matter.
Right. Mm-hmm. Would you remind us when we're doing counting the Omer, because I've forgotten about the little bag of salt. I mean, I have it, but then I forgot to pick it up.
Okay. I will try and remind you tomorrow to do that.
Okay.
And you know what else? You know what else you can do is just copy and paste a short verse at the beginning, so that you'll have the HTML tags, because we've never had the time to really explain that to you. But then you can
yeah.
change the words within the tags to be a reminder, pick up the salt.
Okay.
That way you'll have it on each page.
Okay.
And if you know, if you mess up on the tags or anything, I can do it. But basically the tags are those diagonal parentheses and with the P at the beginning and the forward slash P at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know what I mean when you look at it. So if you have any questions, you can give me a call. And if
okay.
it's not easy to do, I'll try and remember to do it each night, but I just don't have the time to do all of them at once.
Well, I have to do counting of the Omer earlier because I'm always never really sure that I won't fall asleep before 9 o'clock when my time is with to do it with the conference call. But I like to be with the community as well, so I actually do counting of the Omer twice.
I do understand. And that reminds me of something. I'm going to try. It's no guarantee because I'm not sure who will happen. But at the 4:30 class, which I'm going to change that during the Omer to 4 o'clock. For those who can come early, and we'll count the Omer. With the community here in the physical aspect, if there's going to be people coming, I'm not sure there are, because there's been no promotion of it in the building. But if some people start to come, then I will transition from the counting of the Omer for about a half hour, and then it'll be the shortened version. It won't be the... with the prophet and the different aspects, starting with section 6, 7, and 8, I believe it is. But but then I'll transition into the deep study of the Zohar with us at the 7:30 or the 4:30, and that way I'm trying to introduce the Zohar to people in this building.
Mm-hmm.
To see if I can get some interest and develop that. So if you want to join and it works out for your timing, I'll be counting the Omer there at 4 o'clock, which would be 6 o'clock your time.
Okay. Well, it's not going to be dark here at 6. It gets dark about 7:30.
Right. It's not even dark here. I've discussed it with the rabbi, and he's saying go ahead and do it, even though it's not dark. You can have the consciousness that it's dark. Number one, and number two, even if somebody is saying it at the wrong time, somebody is doing more than they did before, more than they did last year. And then again, at the later class, I will count the Omer in the proper time.
Okay.
So there's
given
the
more chances to use mind over matter, so that's good too.
Exactly.
And to be aware of it, you know, that.
That we're doing that. And we're consciously changing it to darkness so that we can do the there was a discussion when I was in the Kabbalah Center, this is 20 some years ago, because the Rav would do things outside of the time limits of the halakha, and it was very, you know, troublesome for those people who were al tshuva, who were learning about these limitations or these expectations that you needed to do certain things at certain times. And all of a sudden, you know, here's the Rav saying it's not important to do it at certain times. But what was explained one time is that he was doing it by changing the time so that when he did it, it was the correct time. That's just an aspect of mind over matter that people don't normally consider. because you can change the time. Because time is an aspect of mercy. That's exactly what Teshuvah does. When you go back to the future, when you go back to that moment where you made the mistake and you change the action, you're changing the time when you go back. You're no longer in the present. You're not in that movie anymore. You change it so that when you come back to the present, you have changed the movie. You go outside of the time in that respect. Now I'm using words to describe a consciousness, and it's really inadequate. But if you contemplate what I've said, I think you'll find it to be helpful.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Have a beautiful, beautiful holiday. A beautiful day. And we will speak tonight, Bezrat Hashem, in the classes.
Okay, thank you.
Shalom.
Bye-bye.
Shalom. Thank you, Hanok.
You're welcome, Brandy. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Hanok. Shalom.
Thank you, Malcolm. Shalom.